Mini episode 737 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FDH Lounge WWE Mock Draft for 2016. Rick Morris and Jake Digman, your FDH Lounge dignitaries. Jake is the brainchild of this particular exercise here. I want to thank him for coming up with the idea and for hosting this taping. And this is going to be an awful lot of fun to go through and see how we would arrange the Raw and SmackDown rosters going forward, my friend.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a good time. I'm just afraid that this is going to, early on, we're going to get to, oh, I wanted that guy, and everything's going to be completely changed around. Because I had a whole roster in my head, but as soon as I realized, I'm like, this is not going to work. This is going to be, it's going to be cutthroat war.
You're
it's
like
going to be fun.
Me. You're like me in this regard, because I was talking to another one of our dignitaries, Ben Chu, off air, and I was telling him, I said, I've actually got butterflies for this, because like I want to have a good creative vision here. I want Jake to have a good one, too, because both of these are representing FDH. I'm sure we're both going to come out of it with really good rosters. And I want to submit this for judging to our good friend, fellow dignitary Kyle Ross. And I just want to run this scenario past you on what you would have thought back at the time here. If you think back 10 years, you and I, sort of the fifth Beatles for the iconic pro wrestling talk show Sunday Night Submission. 10 years later, you and I are doing a mock WWE draft. One of the two principals on the show, Kyle Ross, is judging the draft, and the other one, Ryan Ward, gets a real SmackDown roster as head writer a couple of days from now. Is this not unbelievable?
It is absolutely insane, but a lot of fun. Again, as I said on our last show, brushes with greatness.
That's how it's going. And by the way, just to pull back the curtain even a little bit further, when this goes up on the air, hopefully a day after the taping here, but as far as taping this, I wanted to look back to see, again, 10 years ago, Sunday Night Submission was on the air. 10 years ago tonight, as we're taping this, the lads were doing a pre-show and post-show for Victory Road. Your thoughts, Jake Digman?
I was at that show.
Were you?
Yeah, I was. I believe I was.
Victory Road 06?
Victory Road 06, yeah. I was hanging out with them. Was that the one where Christian Cage won the title?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't remember. I know. There's a good chance if there was a TNA pay-per-view back then in 06, uh-huh. I was probably hanging out watching it just
okay.
Because those were really good back in the day.
There was a window of time. There was, yeah, when they were pretty good. But this is unbelievable. 10 years later, you and I, the fifth Beatles, are getting together to do our own thing here in the lounge, come up with this draft. We came up with some parameters on how to go about this. And in looking at this, we're going to do basically two parts here, 20 and 20. We're each going to make 20 picks in rotating fashion here going through and then finish with a lightning round of 20 and 15. I've got Raw, you've got SmackDown. I voluntarily ceded SmackDown to you. It's only fair you came up with the idea, so you get to draft for our buddy Rhino in this scenario. Do a good job for him. I know you will. But so that's why I'm going to get the extra 5 picks. They'll all be at the end. I don't want any kind of advantage. But Raw's got, you know, it's 3 hours to fill. You were the one that pointed it out to me in the first place. A 3-hour show. Each of them, I guess, is going to have their own hour of syndication now with Main Event and with Superstars also. So we're going to have to take that into consideration. And as you said, we should also start with the general managers here, since each show now has, what are they calling the leadership position with the McMahons?
The McMahons are the commissioners, and
okay.
Each of them has to hire a general manager.
Okay.
They've changed it in the past 3 weeks. First they were general managers, mm-hmm. Then it was COOs.
Yeah.
Then it became commissioner. And then the commissioner is hiring a general manager. So, I mean, they might as well just throw in President Jack Tunney and have every single title, authority title, all as one. Oh, I forgot sheriff. The sheriff.
Sheriff. That whole kind of ill-fated thing there. Well, in looking at it, I won the coin flip that you did off air, so I'm going to get to go first on this. And I said to you off air, I said, I wanted a Dario Cueto-type character in there. I'm gonna give you some hints. I'm going to throw out some hints, see if you can see where I'm going with this. In this universe that we're doing it in, this general manager figure would be answerable to Stephanie McMahon. So I can't just go with a face character in here. I don't like the standard heel authority figure. I do like the Dario Cueto kind of a thing. Just a smarmy bad guy who likes to just see the world burn down. So I'm thinking to myself, what kind of guys do we have that have shown some good kind of smarmy charm? Anybody who's on the sidelines underutilized right now? Anybody who has got a wife who's actually still currently on the roster doing something right now? Somebody who's shown this kind of smarmy ability here, who I think could go out there week in and week out in that kind of capacity. Is this stirring up any thoughts with you here?
No clue.
Okay. I'm going with, and this is way off the board, buddy, I'm going with Tyson Kidd as my general manager. I think he could be really good in that role.
That's fantastic.
You like that?
Yeah, why not? Well, that's totally off the board.
Okay. All right. Great. All right. I got you to pop for it. I'm very happy.
Mine is going to be interesting because my general manager is going to be so contradictory to what it is. Logic would say I would take, like, you know, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
But I'm not.
Okay.
I'm going to do something really bizarre and weird. I am taking, as a baby face, Triple H.
Ooh, okay.
Just to stick it to Stephanie, Shane takes her husband.
Okay.
And it makes sense considering who my writer is.
Well, yes. Yes, it does. And as a matter of fact, that's a masterstroke on your part, buddy, because we never said that these guys can't wrestle, can't go out there in a certain thing. You just used an actual draft pick, so well done.
Ah, thank you. Well, I guess I did take a part-timer, yeah.
You did.
Didn't even think about that.
You did. One of the part-timers goes off the board right away here. So we get to the actual start of this thing here, and you and I were speculating off here about whether we were going to kind of intersect, go the same way or not at the outset here. And we have on these rosters that I drew up here, I had compiled these things, and we're basically going by a common sense standard here, which is not what they did in 02, by the way, as far as just randomly breaking up every tag team. And then by the end of the year, having two sets of tag team titles.
What if I want to break up a tag team,
though? You can.
Can we do that? Okay.
And you may, and I had asked you off air about this, and I guess we'll tackle it when the time comes. You may end up taking a group of guys, and there's one guy out of them who's not the main guy who I like, who I might want to trade you, but that's not who I'm talking about here at the outset. I am a firm believer, structurally, foundationally, when you build a promotion, you want to have, and again, I'm a kid that grew up on the Four Horsemen, subsequently the late 90s, the NWO, you got to have a franchise heel group. You got to have guys in there who can get it done collectively. I'm taking with the first pick the Bullet Club here, AJ Styles, Carl Anderson.
Dang it.
And Doc Gallows. Is that where you were going?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense. It makes sense that you and I would both be looking in that direction because it's the foundation that you want. It's everything to build off of from there. The interesting thing is, we'll see how this plays out early on. We have the chance to kind of hurt each other here in terms of, now that I've gone very heavy on the heel side, if you were to go heavy with the next couple of baby picks, you could really make me come to regret that. So we'll have to see where you go from here. But I'm taking Styles, Anderson, Gallows number one.
Man, that is that was my number one pick that I was thinking of, to the point where I don't even know what my backup number one pick is.
Great minds think alike, man.
Now that I'm. You know,
this was always going to suck for the guy that wasn't one.
Looking at this, I knew it was going to be like, well, that's, you know, I guess I have to go with my default, who was my backup at number one. I'm going with the MVP of the WWE, Mr. Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins. Okay. Interestingly enough here, and again, it's you can keep some cards closer to your chest or whatever. Because there is, I guess, draft strategy involved in the early part here. But just out of curiosity, because I'm jotting down heels and baby faces on either side, you looking to keep him where he's at right now or flip him in fairly short order? Because he could do both.
I'd have to see how the rest of my roster plays out and where he fits in and what he would be doing.
I'll just put him heel for now.
Yeah,
just,
he's heel for now, but okay. I mean, because he is technically a heel right now.
I was just curious. Well, here's the thing, too. I'm going to see if you can guess my second pick based on what I said to you off air, because I said the second pick, it's going to seem a little bit weird in a vacuum.
Finn Balor.
Yeah, exactly. I now have the Bulletproof Balor Club. That is where I'm going with this, and yeah, that's... Was that, by the way, where you were looking to go?
That was actually going to be, if I had the Bullet Club number one, that was going to be my number two pick.
we both went one and two the same way.
Yeah, that was going to be my number two pick.
Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, that's incredible that we both ended up doing that. All right, yeah, Finn Balor's my number two because I'm putting those guys together. I'd like to maybe put a heater with them as well because I like stables sometimes that are even a little bit bigger than four. It can get unwieldy at a certain point, but... You know, with those guys doing the whole too sweet thing 20 years after the fact, this is my NWO 2K16. I'm going to let them run wild like they did in Japan.
Which was my exact thought process on it, too, exactly what I was thinking. With my number two pick, Team SmackDown,
okay.
Paul Heyman's not Paul Heyman SmackDown, selects the NXT champion Samoa Joe.
Ooh! That is one heck of a building block right there, man. That is, and again... It's funny because out of the picks that we made, I mean, Seth Rollins may be the only one who is going to go potentially as high as what happened here. This has definitely got more of an IWC flavor to it than what we're going to see Tuesday night live on SmackDown. But Samoa Joe, number two. Curious on that one as well because that's one where obviously that guy can be a franchise babyface going forward. What are you thinking? You bring him in just as like a badass ass kicker, get him to where he's so bad that the fans start to cheer him eventually, or you think he's a good face?
I think he's a good face. He's going to be a baby face right off the jump.
Right off the jump.
He's
going to
be my. He's going to be in the role of ass kicker.
Okay.
He's going to be my. You know what he is.
Yeah. Mean,
the Samoan submission machine.
Yeah.
And he's not getting any younger.
No, he's not.
You know.
He's absolutely not getting any younger. So, it's very interesting here because one of the things, and I'm going to encourage, when Kyle Ross does the judging of this, I'm going to encourage him to use sort of a multiplicity of criteria on the roster that he likes better, value, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. One of the things I think you have to take into consideration, this is the real world, merch is a part of it. And while this is a guy that, again, his whole shtick, his whole character, not up my alley and pretty much hasn't been since about 05 when he started doing the hokey marine crap. I'm going to go John Cena for my next pick just because, you know, a real face of the company kind of a guy. And even in more of a part-time role going forward, that's the kind of thing where I sort of couldn't afford to let you get him. It's one of those kind of deals.
I understand. And just in the same respect, mm-hmm. for my next pick coming in at number three, I am going to be drafting what is going to be my lead heel.
Okay.
For the company to be built around.
I love it.
And I'm going with, if you listen to the audience, he is the number one heel, Roman Reigns.
I love it. I mean, as soon as you started giving the tease, I knew where you were going, and that's a beautiful thing.
And the whole heel program is perfectly just set up there because if you have Triple H as the babyface, it just makes sense that Roman Reigns would have to go heel.
Right.
To go against them and just play off the fact that, you know, hey, those 100,000 people booing me out of the building.
That's right.
It's like, you people want to boo me? Fine, I'm going to give you a reason to boo me.
Well, what's very, very interesting is two of your top three picks, Samoan guys, and I was laughing about this with somebody recently about Samoa Joe. Is he the only Samoan guy in the history of wrestling that's not part of that lineage?
I think so.
He might be.
I think he might be the only one who's not related to them at all. He should just fake it and say that he is.
Oh, they will. You know they will at some point here. And I'll tell you what, man, you talk about things work out in the end. For a guy who, if they'd brought him in 10 years ago, as I go back to that point in time, might have ended up as Umaga versus what he's going to get to do on this go-around.
Yeah.
So much better. But looking at the next one here, my fourth pick, we are going to very, very rapidly complete the process of taking the Shield because
I figured that was next.
Yeah, I'm not a believer in John Cena as a top babyface going forward. I need guys that I think can be, and Dean Ambrose in this present incarnation is showing that he can be. I've always liked them. I like these hybrids, like a little bit of Roddy Piper, a little bit of Pillman, a little bit of Terry Funk. I love it. Dean Ambrose is about as good as it gets, man.
I think with my draft of Roman Reigns, I just solidified where Seth Rollins is at on the babyface side of things.
He's going to have to
be. Yeah, he's
got
to have to be. I mean, based on the and based on his style, he should be. Stylistically, he wrestles like a babyface.
Well, here's the thing, too. He's got to be opposite from Roman Reigns, and you're talking about building the heel side around him, so... You have that there. So, We have knocked off a lot of the real easy ones here. Every main eventer on this list, I had four of them here, Cena, Reigns, Ambrose, Rollins, and they're all gone at this point. So each of us got two of them, not coincidentally probably. So now we got to start to get a little more creative, my friend.
All right. Well, my next pick that I'm going with is a franchise player in of himself and somebody that, quite frankly, is one of the reasons I tune in every single week to watch because I'm thoroughly entertained constantly by this guy. I'm going with Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens. Nice. That's a tremendous pick. That's a guy that I would have liked to have had. That's a guy where if I... And this is like I can tell you're using my mentality, like, because if I hadn't gotten the Bullet Club, and if I have to start looking at, like, Plan B on the heel side, that's one of the guys you start looking at right there. So Owens is an amazing talent. Looking at this here for the next pick, in terms of merch, in terms of overness, in terms of being the Mac Daddies, no. Racial pun intended there on the tag team side, but they've been the dominant force the last year. I got to go New Day for my fifth pick. New Day rocks because they're somebody that, again, as long as you have them on the card, that's something right there. That takes up a good spot. And eventually, and I do agree with Vince and some of the other ones in there, I think Big E still got a nice big main event run in front of him here. Probably not too soon with some of the other guys ahead of them on the depth chart, but I want to get back to this whole New Day and Bullet Club angle and see where that takes us. So that's going to be my fifth pick.
That's a good fifth pick. I was thinking about that one. My fifth pick actually is one I'm taking. Based on a conversation with you, I'm taking the boss, Sasha Banks.
Oh! Doggone you! Doggone you! Oh! Me and my big mouth, like, I warned you. I was like, you better do that early. Oh, my God. She is one of the biggest potential licenses to print money on the whole roster. Never thought I'd be saying this about a woman. Never, ever, ever thought that. And Bayley as well. And I see it with Bayley. I see the whole she can be the Cena thing with the marketing and whatever. Sasha Banks, I mean, there's only one Rock, but she's Rock-like. I mean, that's who she reminds me of in every freaking way, right down to being if you will, exotic, biracial person where the other sex is going, yummy. I mean, she's so Rock-like in so many ways, I can't even tell you.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. She and I mean, just listening to her, like, out of character,
yeah.
And then you see her in character. She's got the character down perfectly, but, like, when they go full on babyface with her, mm-hmm. her story is just—it's absolutely incredible. I listened to her on Jericho's podcast, and I was like, why didn't girls like this exist when I went to high school?
No doubt, yeah. Somebody like that's a big wrestling nerd. That, like, her favorite.
Who was a fan of Work Rate?
Yes.
Like, what?
Yes, I mean, you talk about unicorns, a beautiful girl whose favorite wrestlers were the Vanilla Midgets.
Exactly.
I mean, what is going on here? Welcome to 2016. It's a weird time to be alive. But, oh, my God, this is the first real you got me moment of the night because, you know, I can recover. I can still build a really good women's division with the rest of the talent. But, oh, that hurts. That hurts right there. For my next pick, I'm gonna lick the wounds here. I'm going a little bit face heavy at this point, but you know, a guy that I think and Kyle Ross likes to call me a smart mark for saying this, but a guy who I think has top guy written all over him is Cesaro. I just don't get why he hasn't gotten more of an opportunity, and I do think in the real world of the brand split, I think he's going to be one of the guys most poised to benefit from this. Of course, people say Kevin Owens, but that seems very obvious to say that because, you know, with two brands now, he's going to be, like, even more of a top dog. Cesaro, a little bit more of a dark horse because of how he's been positioned, but a guy who, if he's holding one of the two world titles 6 months, a year from now, I don't think anybody'd be shocked. And if I were the booker, I'd give him every chance to. He's my sixth pick.
And that's a great sixth pick.
Thank you.
It's somebody that I would have was actually on my list that I was considering looking at still on the board,
mm-hmm.
but alas, he is not on the board. So I'm gonna go a little off the book here, but not really. My sixth pick, I'm gonna pick somebody. I notice I'm a little light on the babyface side over there.
Oh, you maybe about to snake me again.
I don't know if I'm going to snake you again, but my next pick, I need somebody, a good baby face and someone that just oozes charisma, and this person has the most charisma of anyone in the WWE.
With
our sixth pick, I select Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Oh. You have recovered from what I did to you taking the Bullet Club. Because Sasha Banks and Shinsuke Nakamura. Oh, my God. Oh, you struck back in fine fashion, my friend. I got to tell you. That is going to leave a mark on me. I am distraught because that is an amazing pick. I don't know what else to say about that. Moving on here, trying to put together some kind of semblance of a plan after getting kicked in the teeth here. I need more top heels. Thus far, the only ones that I have are the Bulletproof Balor Club, those four guys. I don't see this combo being affiliated with them in any way, but Lana and Rusev. That's going to be my seventh pick because that is Rusev's a guy that's still got upside. I think we've seen in the right climate he can be rehabilitated enough. I thought at one point in time, you know, you could get him hot enough for a feud going into a Mania or a SummerSlam with Brock Lesnar, and then it came to look very, very ludicrous. But he's on the comeback trail to getting to that point. There's still rehab to be done, but he can get there. And that might be the plan if I get Brock here at some point. So Lana and Rusev is my seventh-round pick.
That's a good choice. I actually did one time at a fantasy WrestleMania on 2K16, and one of my matches was Brock Lesnar versus Rusev.
Right? That would be a great one.
If you know, Rusev could have been built up to that. He still could be. It just you know, it depends on where they go with him or not.
Absolutely.
Who do I want next? All right. My next pick that I'm going with to complete, I guess I'm debating between two picks here that I want.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the first one that is would still be there, but I'm going to go with it anyway. I'm going to go with, on the tag team side of things, the anchor of my tag team division, American Alpha.
Oh, interesting. Now, are these guys that you see as being faces right off the bat?
Oh, yeah, they'd be baby faces right off the bat.
I was going to say, because you could bring him in with that kind of jock-like arrogance and sort of like have the fans warm to him.
In an ideal world, I'd bring in Kurt Angle with them, but I don't know if I have that option because he's like that doesn't really work for the company.
But I think we said we were going to use a common sense standard, and by that standard, I mean, here's the thing. I don't think he wants to sign just as a manager, and they don't want to sign him as a talent. Yeah. So that's... You're going about it the right way there. That's a hell of an anchor right there, and those are guys that can really
get
the job
done. And I'm looking towards the future on that too.
Right. Well, and that's where, you know, as I look at this, I never like making reactive picks, but outside of the club, I don't really have anything on my tag team heel side yet. So this is a total reactive pick, eighth round pick. Is Dash Wilder and Scott Dawson, the NXT Tag Team Champions. Thank you. I have to. I mean, that's maybe I'm getting caught at the back end of a run. Maybe Jason Jones would chastise me for this in terms of draft strategy, but I had to get somebody else on that side potentially to go against New Day, and that's a fresh matchup. So I'm going to go with them for my eighth-round pick.
And that is a fine pick by you for your eighth-round pick. My next pick, I mean, I have Sasha Banks, so I might as well get the heel side of this. So do I get Charlotte and Dana Brooke as one?
Yeah, you do.
I'm taking Charlotte and Dana Brooke.
Charlotte
that's
and Dana
one.
Brooke, okay. That is, that's a great combo. And that kind of, the one thing that allows me to do a little bit is to kind of sit back at this point because you've taken them off the board. I'm not going to say that I'm gonna wait till this thing's all done to start picking women because that would be foolhardy, but you've already got two of the big kahunas right there. So that's not where I'm going to look to go with my next pick here as I am in real time looking over this thing here and trying to see who I think might have the kind of upside to be able to come in here and get some stuff done.
I know who my next pick is. Let's see if you take this person.
Just the fact that you said person... Okay, we're not looking in the same direction.
All right.
I think in terms of marketability, in terms of upside, in terms of the kind of things we're looking at here, there's only obviously one set of titles to go around, but I'm going to take Enzo and Big Cass with my ninth round pick.
Good choice.
I want to have them on the roster there. And again, from NXT, they have unfinished business with Wilder and Dawson, and assuming that I would have the parameters to kind of let that play out in the backstory and them never getting over on Wilder and Dawson, I'd like to be able to do that. So, yeah, I'm beefing up my tag team side here just as you're doing with the women. So Enzo and Cass, ninth round pick.
Well, my next pick actually will one day lead to beefing up my tag team division.
Okay.
It'll one day eventually lead to this person will eventually be the tag team champions.
Okay.
But, of course, before he becomes one half of the tag team champions, first he has to finish his feud with his tag team partner.
Okay.
I'm taking Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn, okay.
And for those who didn't figure it out, his partner will one day be Kevin Owens.
Right.
I mean, I think we all could see that coming at some point in the future. And those who would make one, anybody who's ever seen them, Kevin Steen and El Generico in Ring of Honor knows, they make one heck of a tag team. So with that, I got a feud and a tag team.
Yes, you
waiting in the wings.
Yes, you do. And I find that to be very, very intriguing also, too, because they're playing up the whole last match thing at Battleground between
it's
them.
Never the last match.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, but that's a thing where I'm assuming in real life, that means they're going to different rosters. This is a thing here where you're going to have them on the same roster with that stipulation being in place. So that will be kind of fascinating to see how it plays out. The 10th round.
Is that actually a stipulation? Or are they just saying it's their last match?
Well, that's a very good point. That I don't know.
Like, I don't recall it actually being advertised as a stipulation like this is it no matter what.
I don't know.
Because I think they're just going to feud forever.
You could be right about that. You could be. In looking at the next picks here, because there's nobody obvious to take next, and because I got to at least stay consistent here on my whole thing about merch, this pick doesn't fit in well with your roster for reasons we've talked about off air, but I can't take the chance that you would beat me to the punch on this anyways. I'm taking Bayley with my 10th pick. Because
good choice.
And I think, again, I don't know if you agree with me, I think her and Sasha need to be separated because I think they need to be anchors on both sides. And I think having a pure baby face like Bayley in the mix would complicate Sasha being the main event baby face on a brand. So I think this is for the best for both of them to be on opposite sides. But I couldn't take the chance that you were going to scoop right in there.
I would have. I considered it. I mean, I do need someone. I do need someone to team up with Sasha Banks to go up against Charlotte and Dana Brooke at some point here.
You do.
Plus to fill out that roster. So I think I have the perfect person in mind to team up with Sasha Banks and take out Charlotte and Dana Brooke. With my next pick, I am going with the Beast, the Conqueror, Brock Lesnar.
A little bit of a curveball there, but yeah,
He's not there.
Brock Lesnar.
Brock
okay.
Lesnar. I want Samoa Joe versus Brock Lesnar.
That was literally the first
thing I thought of. That's my marquee, like humongous. Like Samoa Joe is going to get a main event push right out the gate from me because he has to. There's no point in wasting him around as a mid-card. Certain guys are built a certain way. And you look at him, he looks like he's a guy that comes in. Like I just can't see him in the opening match against, Dolph Ziggler.
Well, I tell you this. When you look at the possibility marketing-wise here, Brock Lesnar, how about this? A four-way dance versus him and the three Samoans, if you can sign a special attraction here. Samoa Joe, Roman Reigns, Mark Hunt. Make it happen.
Well, that'd be interesting. Mark Hunt would just be like, give me my money.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Which he has no, that's a whole other story for another time. But apparently he tested positive for steroids, for PEDs, from using an inhaler.
Right.
We'll see about this.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out.
But as of right now, he is not suspended. He's on my SmackDown roster.
Well, here's a very fascinating thing here because I was waiting. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and I'm sure you're going to at some point to take the Wyatt family. I said there was one guy out of the bunch that I wanted, and I'm going to go way the F off the board here. And that guy, I'm extracting him. So if you go to take the Wyatt family, you're just going to get the other guys. I am using my 11th round pick on Luke Harper.
Oh, I thought you were going to take Eric Rowan.
No. I see something in this guy. I really, really do. I want him separate from the Wyatts, but I see something in
him. He's really funny. Like, if you get a chance to, like, listen to interviews and stuff that he does, and, like, he's got a really funny personality that, like, really needs to, like, they're not utilizing that properly and letting it shine through.
Right.
And I would love to see maybe even, like, a babyface run for him or something.
He could be at some point. Right now, I would do it in more of, like, a demented Joker kind of a way, but you're absolutely right on that. So I would go with Luke Harper. For my pick.
I'm just checking to see what I've got here.
For the 11th round. You thus far.
I'm pretty balanced.
You are pretty balanced. You are.
Well, Seth Rollins is now a babyface. I'm changing some things up on this.
All right, so Rollins is going to be a face. Okay.
Seth Rollins is now a babyface.
Okay.
Probably, you know what? Samoa Joe, because Roman Reigns is a heel. Samoa Joe, I'd bring in as a heel also.
Okay.
I just had a stroke of genius with my next pick. Because I got to have a counter to my Chad Gable and Jason Jordan American Alpha.
Okay.
You mentioned something of the of how a you need a good solid heel faction.
Yes.
Well, this heel faction isn't on the board. They're not even heels right now, but they're going to be my top heel faction over on SmackDown. Because you know what? They're entitled to this. Everything they've got, it's in their bloodlines. My next pick is the Uso brothers as heel backup to Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe.
Okay.
All as one badass Samoan group.
Okay. Well, you have finally found a use for those guys. No pun intended whatsoever. But those are guys that, in a conventional sense, no offense to them, I think you'd make a good point, wouldn't even get drafted. Because their babyface run, you know, is basically drawing crickets and whatever.
That's why you need a change of pace and the whole thing. I think, you know, with them over there and being heels as something completely fresh, something completely different. And, you know, I think they just make the perfect backup to a heel to turn to Roman Reigns.
I don't know if they have the charisma to do it, but God bless you. Maybe they can. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see.
Kyle's going to be like, that's a horrible pick. Why would you do that?
There are a lot of interesting ways that we can still go here with this. In looking at this point, again, somebody who is probably undervalued by us to this point, just based on the fact that at least this run that he has is supposed to go through WrestleMania. I'm going to take Chris Jericho with my 12th round pick. I'm going to
I missed my 10th pick.
Did you?
Yeah, my 10th pick. It was supposed to be the perfect 10, but I missed it. I totally lost track of what we were doing.
I think Brock Lesnar would argue he fits the bill a little
closer.
Yeah,
Brock Lesnar is much better of a perfect 10 than
yes,
Ty Dillinger.
I think
unfortunately.
So.
Unfortunately, I can't draft Ty that high.
Well, again, I think Jericho is somebody that can really have a lot of use in that role on the heel side. Maybe at some point, again, as the beloved babyface, maybe down the road. But him doing, like, the surly middle-aged dad gimmick is not bad either.
Yeah, it's good. And, you know, I like Jericho. I've always liked Jericho.
Yeah.
Sure, he's lost, like, a step or two, but he's, like, 45 years old, and he's still out there going. So more power to him.
Exactly. He can still go. Now at least you're kind of taking shape on the heel side here with your Samoan SWAT team circa 2K16.
Yeah.
With those four
why
guys.
Not, you know? We'll see what we can do there. I mean, it might work. It might flop. So in case that flops, I'm going to take the rest of the Wyatt family.
Okay. A wise pick. A very, very wise. A real value pick for you at this point. And that's where that really comes into play. Very strongly, I believe.
I mean, we don't know any of the upside. Bray Wyatt, we know what you get. Strowman is still, we don't know what's there. I could have a diamond in the rough, or he could just be as awful as everybody, you know, keeps thinking he is.
Yeah.
We just don't know yet. And Eric Rowan is pretty much, it is what it is. I don't see him setting the world on fire as the main baby face or anything. But, you know, sometimes they say he's a good solid hand, and he's a solid hand to have.
Well, yeah, and that's where, with Braun Strowman, he's become a lot easier to digest ever since, you know, Vince got it through his head one way or another. You don't have to push this guy to the moon immediately, because that would be the wrong move. The guy is way too green. The guy doesn't show as much charisma as the other guys. That would be a bad, bad move. As I continue to look at this here and the possibilities, I'm going to go for my 13th round pick, if nothing else, because there's a feud built in here at some point. You can get a pay-per-view or two out of this one here. There's somebody left that still owes a job to John Cena. And by a job, I mean doing the job. And that would be Alberto Del Rio. So I will take him number 13. A guy who still has some use. They've struggled to kind of get everything that they can out of him. But I still see some upside there in him. And in the 13th round, he feels about right. So I'm going to take him to help beef up my heel side a little bit more. So,
oh, that's a good pick there. I did see Del Rio. Actually, my only reason I was considering drafting him was for the Hispanic demographic.
There's that too.
You know,
yes,
that is a big thing. And
exactly.
Apparently, Hispanics aren't going to watch my show because I'm still not going down that road yet.
Okay.
In my decisions here, kind of again in real time, glancing up and down the board to see who is available and who I can take, and I guess this one is kind of one of those twofers. Just for the sake of having, I'm going to go with the Intercontinental Champion, The Miz, and his lovely wife, Maryse.
Okay.
My drinking buddies.
Well, and I was looking at that, too. But it was one of these things where it would have been a little bit awkward because in terms of the secondary titles, he's got one as we're taping this, and the other one is with Rusev right now. So it's probably better if we have them split up. That gives you your mid-card champion going in, so... That's a good selection for you. Number 14, I'm going to go, once again, in an unconventional direction. And I'm going to need to go on a real run of loading up on baby faces here at this point because I keep going heel here at this point. We don't have to split up, guys, but I already did it once with Luke Harper, and I'm going to do it again. Give me Bubba Ray, make that Bully Ray Dudley, for my 14th round pick here.
Good choice. Is he going to be a babyface or a heel?
He is going to be a heel.
Fantastic. I considered doing that.
Heel, dickhead, Bubba Ray.
Yeah, that was actually one of my, if I was going to break up a tag team, it was going to be that one and take Bully Ray on that one.
The question at this point is, does Devon even get drafted by
probably,
either one
of us? Probably not. You never know. I mean, I really have no use for Devon on my roster. We'll
right.
See maybe later on. Future endeavors? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, like you, Devon, you know. Unfortunately, you're kind of a one-shtick thing.
Pretty much. And we're assuming, I think, for the sake of argument here, whoever doesn't go in our 75 guys getting drafted ends up back at NXT. So imagine Devon Dudley as an NXT recycling project.
I think he'd be a coach.
I think you're right.
I think he'd be a coach.
Yeah. You might be hanging up the boots here as a result of this draft here, Devon. But, yeah, Bubba Ray is my 14th round pick on the heel side.
Well, my next pick I'm going to decide here, and I'm going to stick with the theme of former TNA World Champion. I just can't decide which former TNA World Champion it is that I'm going to be taking with my next pick.
Okay.
I got to go with the one that I think has the most upside out of the three that I'm staring at right now, and I'm going to go with the one that I think has the most upside as a main event player ready and waiting to happen, has the look that the WWE likes. I'm going with the It Factor, Bobby Roode.
Ooh, doggone it. That's another guy I was looking at because he has no history, to my knowledge, with although, again, he was him and AJ Styles were around a lot at the same time, obviously, but no real history with the Bullet Club per se, but I got one more guy that I want to pair with this new Bulletproof Balor Club or whatever we call it. So, damn it. Bobby Roode was the guy I was looking at for that role. Damn you. That's a good pick. That's a really, really solid pick on your part. I feel like as I'm looking to beef up the other side of things here, number 15, once again, I think I'm having to play some defense on this here. I'm going to go with Hideo Itami because I need some help on the face side. Do you agree with me that it's also good for him and Nakamura to be on different brands?
I was about to say that. You can't have both Japanese guys on the same thing,
right,
or also be a tag team or also just feud with each other because
right,
that's
exactly.
All they know how to do.
Yeah. You just get into that endless cycle.
And it makes those cool moments where when they do pass and they see each other, and they're like, oh, hey, like they have a conversation and they just start talking to each other in Japanese and just keep walking.
That would
be so funny. Like, oh, hey, I know you. That would be entertaining, I think.
So Itami's a guy where I can start kind of beefing up my face side a little bit here. I'm taking him 15.
Good pick. I'm glancing through right here to see who is on my list of people that I could possibly be wanting.
That's where, again, doing this in real time as we are. This
makes
is
it
the
so much more interesting to see who it's going to. Oh, there's a solid pick. You know, a potentially main event babyface talent.
Okay,
I am going with Apollo Crews. Yes.
I was going to take him and say about the same thing. That's another guy you beat me to the punch on. They have completely mishandled him since he came up, but that's a guy where and he's got to improve on the stick. But I mean, if he does, like all these comparisons I've heard to, like, oh well, you know, you could be like a better Bobby Lashley. I'm like, if
that's because they're
better,
both black.
Well, yeah, and they look a little bit the same. You know, a cue punchline here, but I mean, to compare him to Bobby, he's already infinitely better than Bobby Lashley was, because Bobby Lashley couldn't talk either. So
Bobby Lashley was hilarious when he'd talk.
Yeah.
That's why, like, I haven't seen Bobby. I know he's like the TNA, he's a champion or something, but I haven't seen him in forever.
Yeah.
I saw him on Bellator a couple times fighting.
Well, yeah, no offense to him, and
he was Black Lesnar.
Yeah, he was. That's what we used to call him. And again, God bless him. He served in the armed forces. I have a lot of respect for anybody that did, because I think he was like, an army wrestling champion or whatever. So
he's also the reason new guys don't get pushed in the WWE.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because, you know, I hate to say it. I mean, it was god awful. But my God. Crews has got so much upside potential.
Crews can work with like my roster over there. I'm trying to remember who I got there. Like, I could very easily see him going up against my Samoan Badass faction.
Yes,
taking on, you know, some of those guys, or a feud with Kevin Owens, or even, you know, on the opposite side. He fits. He can work with a Zayn, anybody like that.
Right.
So I'm happy that he was available for this my pick.
Absolutely. But well, you got him. You got Sami Zayn. I mean, as far as, you know, baby face guys who can maybe draw a little bit of sympathy here. The well may be running dry for me here. If I don't go ahead and pull the trigger on this one, I'm going to go for Neville with number 16. I got to get somebody in that role here.
Yeah, you definitely need that underdog baby face.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I need that white meat baby face, which, again, you know, no pun intended. Crews could be as well. But, again, I don't have the option of that. I don't have the option of Sami Zayn. So this is where we kind of force each other into these kind of picks here from time to time. But that's good, because that helps both of our rosters to be well-balanced. We want this. Both of these are shaping up to be great rosters the way we're shaping them strategically. But that's my pick here in the 16th round, as I bounce back a little bit on the face side with my last two picks, him and Tommy. What's very, very interesting, like, I have a very international flavor to my baby faces here. Cesaro and a Tommy and Neville. And
I kind of do, too, though, if you look at mine. I got, like, Shinsuke Nakamura up there.
Yeah.
I got
Sami Zayn
up there in a way.
Well, Brock Lesnar's now a Canadian.
Brock Lesnar's now Canadian, yes. Representing the country of Canada, I have Brock Lesnar. Yeah, so, I mean, and he's a baby face.
Yeah.
Who's going to boo Brock Lesnar?
Pretty much.
He's the bringer of world peace.
Yes, he is. I forgot to put Paul Heyman down here with him as well.
Oh, yeah, I get Heyman. Yeah, I forgot.
You get Heyman. That's where, again, Heyman, I don't think at this stage, likes to be used with different talent, but, you know, there is that option. So,
well, for my next pick, and this pick is, it's amazing. What round are we in? 16?
Round 16.
It's amazing that this pick, you know, it's funny. He's in our draft in 2016. He is round 16. At the initial draft, he was number one. He was the number one pick overall in the 2002 draft. I'm going for dream match purposes. I'm taking the Undertaker.
Undertaker. Doggone it. And I was going to do that with you've snaked me now a few times, because that I was really getting to the point of starting to think, like, okay, for those times, a couple times a year. Now, again, and this is going to be a true test of how the WWE holds true to their whole thing about the brand split. They should make even the part-timers adhere to it. So it's a thing where, you know, theoretically, they could book a match, say, even in this universe, let's say Undertaker versus Finn Balor or whatever at WrestleMania. They shouldn't do that. They should have to go by the strictures of this thing.
I would actually be okay with that WrestleMania for the purpose of dream matches, because they're kept apart by doing, you know, brand versus brand. I'd be okay. Like, for example, you have John Cena.
Yeah.
I still want to see John Cena versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
See, I do too. Maybe if it's WrestleMania only, maybe that might make it happen.
And I mean, it also might be a case where, you know, it just depends on who he's feuding with, what they need him for. Like, for example, on your part-time list, you didn't have The Rock.
No, because I was thinking to myself, I initially did, but I was thinking, The Rock, realistically, they're going to have him show up on either show, depending on whatever.
Yeah.
Austin, same way. So there's a couple
he's
guys.
He's a legendary status at this point. He's
pretty much, yeah.
He's not even a part-time wrestler.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if Piper was still alive, that would be the case. If Hogan's reputation were still alive, which it may be in their eyes once again, Hogan will be a guy that they have show up on either show. So.
Oh, man, if he was on this list, he'd have been the number one pick for both of us. We'd have been fighting, crawling, and scratching.
Yeah.
That would have taken the rest of the NWO, too. It would have taken Nash and Hall.
Brother, brother, brother.
Brother.
Can I take the corpse of Macho Man?
Oh!
Too soon?
Isn't Damian Sandow doing that gimmick on the indies? Yeah. All right, and looking at this here, it's really, really getting to the point of being tough. But
there's still some solid picks on there. I mean, it's not tough yet. I mean, I can see like four or five here that I would want to go with.
Well, and as much as I am complaining about not having enough, all-American, white meat baby faces here, I'm going to make it worse, and I'm going to make it worse by breaking up another tag team. The one guy of the two that still has a lot of upside, as we've seen from them playing footsie with giving him a push, is Kalisto. So that's going to be my 17th round pick. And, again,
You, Sin Cara.
If nothing else, this is a roster that can give me some great TV matches for a three-hour show. So
you own that Hispanic audience that we got him and Alberto Del Rio, so now they're going to have to fight each other all the time.
They're going to have to, yeah.
And,
even though that feud's already been done, we got to go back to that well again and again and again.
And they're going to be, he's representing all the Mexicans who grew up in Chicago.
Well, at the risk of seeding the Puerto Rico demographic right off the bat, you can have Primo and Epico if you want them.
I'm good. I don't want Primo and Epico. Don't try to give me that. Can I have Carlito? I mean, I'll take Carlito instead.
Yeah.
Only if I get them both. So that would be cool.
The guy who's got more charisma than both of his brothers put together.
Crazy how that works.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but again, he allegedly is a pain in the ass, and that's why he doesn't have a job there. So that's how these kind of things tend to work. A lot of times. So we're going to be starting to really look, I got to think at this point, the guys just with upside and guys that we really think we can kind of mold. We're not there yet at the halfway point of this thing, as it were, the bullet round, but we're getting closer to it here. So you and I are really kind of having to scratch on what we're going to do with some of these guys.
Yeah. My next pick I'm going to do, because I've got, I need someone to have Sasha Banks back against Charlotte and Dana Brooke. And okay. Brock Lesnar obviously does not fit that bill. So I'm going to go with the Empress of Tomorrow, Asuka.
Ooh, okay. That is, that's an amazing pick right there. Your women's division is beating my ass at this point. I am going to have to scratch to kind of catch up here. That is amazing. With being able to put her in there with Sasha and Charlotte and Dana Brooke might be our Cleveland homegirl, but I don't know.
I'm not gonna
lump her in with that.
No, not at all.
No,
I watched her last match. I forget it was with Sasha, and it literally looked like Dana was just running to keep up. Like she just kept trying to Sasha would just go in circles around her, and Dana's just trying to do her best to remember what the next move is and just to keep up with her. And when it was finally over, she's just like, "Oh, thank God, it's done."
I'm rooting for her so hard because she's from Cleveland, but it's just like you got to give me something to work with here.
Yeah. Can I just root for Alexa Bliss instead, because she's from Columbus, so it's still Ohio.
Well, apropos of absolutely nothing after your last pick here, my 18th round pick is going to be Dolph Ziggler.
That's fantastic. I was actually considering taking him.
My other
drinking buddy.
Yes, your old drinking buddy, as I need to continue to beef up my my face side here.
And that's a guy, you could fit in there. He could be in. The funny thing with him also, if you wanted to, you could do with him. I mean, there's also the heel potential with him. He had a great heel run of being like, I'm just sick of this and I don't care anymore.
Well,
I'm just waiting for the one day where Dolph Ziggler just snaps.
Well, he's a guy who's very good at doing the, and we haven't seen it in a long time from him because of the role that he's been in. He's very good at doing the gimmick of I'm better than you.
He is, except for right now, I don't think anybody would believe that because he never wins. So he's really not better than anybody. I mean,
you're right about that.
Maybe the perfect 10 Ty Dillinger.
Yeah.
It might be better than him. And I'm still not drafting him yet.
You're right. It would make it very, very difficult for that to be the case. But I'm going to go with him as my 18th round pick. And we're going to be getting into some very, very interesting ones here as far as the possibilities going forward, because we're going to be looking at a lot of upside, I think, predominantly as we're going through this thing here.
Yeah. My next pick I'm going to go with, he's still on the board. I'm going to go with one of the other former TNA World Heavyweight Champions that's on the board, and now he's off the board. He is the greatest man who ever lived, and now he's going to be on SmackDown, Austin Aries.
Another guy I wanted. Oh, doggone it. Doggone it. And I was even...
And I got to use him as a heel because he's so good. Do I have any baby face? Okay, I do have some baby faces.
Well, two of them are Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker, so...
I don't know.
You know.
I may have to do something about that.
It's...
Bobby Roode, I could transition over to babyface very easily. Same thing with Aries, you know. Samoa Joe could be a babyface.
The other thing here,
I mean, I don't really have to have him in my Samoan Badass faction because he isn't really one of them.
Right.
They could kick him out based on that. Like, could. You're not really one of us.
You're not part of the bloodline,
you're
brother.
You're not one of us.
Well, and I'll tell you what, too. It's one of these things. You don't want to jerk with guys outside of their natural roles, except they can be sometimes electric. Switching over and seeing what happens. Kevin Owens at some point, as an against the world, you know, Austin type badass babyface. I mean, that's a guy right there, right? That's got
all
a lot
he's.
Upside.
I mean, he gets pops. All he has to do is direct his insults towards heels.
Right.
That'd be fantastic. Like, I would love that. Like, my whole premise and idea is for him to be a babyface and be a tag team champions with Sami Zayn.
Right.
And it'd be absolutely hilarious. Like them as tag team champions, but like, you know, they still don't like each other, but not the whole like wacky tag team partners who hate each other. They don't like. They still. He's like, you know, they're like brothers who fight. I guess it's kind of like my whole.
Right.
Concept of it. Like, I can kick your ass, but if anybody else wants to kick your ass, they got to deal with me kind of thing.
The weird thing is they've been even delving into that a little bit before blowing off the feud. Like, them both giving the super kicks to Jericho, it's like, I don't think they should be doing that quite yet.
Not quite yet, but, I mean, there's just so much potential there for a run with them as a tag team that,
right.
You know, we shall see.
Right. And I would agree with you. And the one thing about this, too, I love so many of the tag teams that they have now, but what I don't love is, and I'm including NXT in this, that even after the split, there's going to be so many tag teams on either side. I wish we had a climate where there was fluidity of, like, we talk about Dolph Ziggler. That's another way that you could use him. Put him in a tag team with somebody. But there's already established tag teams. You don't want them getting lost in the shuffle, you know.
You mean like Fabreeze?
Yeah, Fabreeze.
Why are they not called Fabreeze?
They should be.
Like, seriously. And they're here to clean up the mess.
They should be.
Seriously, it's like, you know, you're an uggo, you smell bad. And they spray Fabreeze at people. This is like they could have a sponsored tag team.
Sponsor, yeah.
It'd be fantastic. I mean, I'm like, Breezango? It's like, you sat there and you looked at both their names, you went, huh, you saw Breezango? You didn't think Fabreeze was the first thing that popped into your head? I mean, what the heck?
According to CM Punk, Brock Lesnar is the only guy who's allowed sponsorships. So there you go.
Okay. Sponsored by horse meat.
Yeah.
I watched a video online the other day on YouTube of Brock Lesnar hunting. If you ever want to see Brock Lesnar orgasmically happy, there's a video of him shooting a buck.
Okay.
He's shooting a buck. He's out hunting, and he shoots with a bow and arrow. And I kid you not, Brock Lesnar gets as giddy as a schoolgirl at the sight of him shooting this deer. And he's like, I got him. I got him. It's like, oh, that was a good buck. And it's like bleeding out and stuff. And like he walks by, and he's like, sees the blood. And he's like, oh, yeah, he's definitely going to be deer meat. And then it ends with like Brock with a big smile on his face, goes, yeah, that's a good one. He's counting. He's all giggly happy. He drags the deer out of the creek where it's at, and he's like, he pretty much throws it up on like one arm. Drags it out and is like, I'm eating deer meat tonight. Yeah. It's just like, what the heck did I just watch? Like, he's so, like, he looks like a little schoolgirl. Like, you just got a date to prom.
I'll answer that for you. I think you just watched the PETA fundraising video.
it's like, yeah, that's apparently what Brock Lesnar. There's several videos of him on YouTube. That's what Brock Lesnar does. He gets orgasmic at hunting.
That's amazing.
Like, he's you know. He wants to unite people, but he wants to destroy animals.
That is absolutely amazing. I have figured it out for my 19th round pick here in terms of who my heater for the Balor Club is going to be.
Ooh.
Because I'm looking at it here. There's a little bit of, shall we say, common ethnicity with one of the fellows involved in it. I need something to make sure that these guys don't get, like... I don't want it getting too blurred like it was with the NWO to where they were, like, too cool as heels. I got to make sure there's somebody in there to draw enough actual heat on them. My 19th round pick, fella, is going to be Sheamus, the new heater for the Bulletproof Balor Club.
Is that your name, the Bulletproof Valor Club?
Yeah.
That's the name you're going with? Okay.
I read
the
that.
Bulletproof Valor Club.
They were thinking about going with that as a name because obviously they can't use Bullet Club. They were looking at Valor Club. But apparently that's going to be the point of if Valor joins them is to work his name into it. So,
all right. That's BBC.
He's my heater. He's the heater for the BBC.
That's you got to,
because he's big enough for that role. I told you, I was looking at Bobby Roode for that, but, you know, he's bigger. He's more in the traditional role. And, again, for all these smarks out there, they're going to be tempted to cheer for the Bulletproof Valor Club. Maybe they'll think twice about cheering when you got that guy coming out with his "you look stupid" look.
Oh, now they're definitely going to cheer for him. What are you talking about? Let's put him over the top. He's the most beloved baby face on the entire roster.
Yeah.
I mean, what's up with that?
Well, and again, you know, that's a guy that Vince apparently still, unless things have completely changed, still thinks is money. So, you know, that's more of a license to push them to the top, I suppose, in his eyes. So Sheamus is my 19th round pick.
It's a good 19th round pick there.
Last of our upper mid card guys on
this
diagram.
Yeah, the entire top of the. I was just looking at that, seeing what I got available here and who's been taken. Ah, here we go. Oh well, might as well take the other four horsewoman still available. I'm going to go with Becky Lynch.
Ooh. Now the thing I was thinking about with that is that again, I kind of knew I didn't want Becky on the same brand as Bayley, because
you only have Bayley. Bayley's the only woman on your roster.
Well, exactly. But that's where. But at this point, now I'm going to look to start filling things out.
And I may try to trade to get her.
Well, I'm going to look to start filling things out a little bit more from this point here. My 19th round pick on that side. This is not a feud that I would race into, because this is maybe something you build to more for Mania. We're gonna need to see this on the main roster, particularly if they end up on the same brand, and I think there's a decent chance they might. That's just a guess on my part. Nia Jax.
Man, that was my next pick.
Yeah. I knew I had to cut you off at the pass here.
Oh, she was going to be my next pick.
Yeah.
I was going to round up my division, my women's division, and she was going
to
be the last member of my Samoan badass dynasty.
She's my 20th round pick here, Nia Jax. I had to stop you from steamrolling my women's division.
Yeah,
so.
I had the perfect spot for her, too, right, with my Samoans.
Well, I have my anchors now. I have Bayley and Nia Jax atop either side, and I need to fill it out from there. And that'll be once we get more to the speed round here in a second. But Nia Jax is the last pick of the first part of the draft for me.
Well, my last pick on the first part of the round, first part of the draft, as I'm looking here to see who's available and who I want. Because really, Nia Jax was gonna complete my women's division, but now I can't with that. And all the rest that are there, I can kind of just fill in either one of them. I mean, God bless you, Eva Marie, for even making this list that I'm looking at. Oh, man, this is kind of tough because I'm getting down to the nitty-gritty here. Thinking.
It's tough.
It is very, very
tough at this point, buddy.
Trying to come up with somebody that has some upside that could be. This one is going to be. All right, well, I'm going to go a little off of the. Off the beaten path here, mm-hmm. And I don't even know if he's going to be a babyface or he's going to be a heel. I just know everybody tells me he's like the greatest thing ever. He's like the next superstar, internationally speaking. I'm going to go with Zack Sabre Jr.
Ooh, okay. One of the unsigned guys from the Cruiserweight Classic, Zack Sabre Jr. And, again, just to let everybody know, we had kind of said going into this thing here, common sense standard. If you're in the Cruiserweight Classic, you are easily signable for WWE. So that's a legitimate pick here. This isn't like the Kurt Angle thing before about, well, would they sign him? Would they whatever? Or if you're taking an established New Japan guy where he can't get out of a long-term deal. Zack Sabre Jr. as your 20th pick.